Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. And we got Thanksgiving week. It's kind of crazy. Hopefully everyone's sitting down and enjoying the holiday with a lot of football. They put the NFL on Friday. I don't know how I feel about that because that was typically my college football day. And so just expanding it and fighting over college football is kind of annoying to me because it's supposed to be a shopping day. I get it. People don't shop anymore. They stay home. It's Black Friday. You do your shopping online. But they put college football spread out. So it starts, it used to start Thursday night because there was no football game. Now that they have the Thursday night game, the Egg Bowl or whatever game it was, some Big 12 games, I think, started to play on that day. Now they're getting overlooked because NFL's playing. Then on Friday, you had like the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry. They're trying to really push that. Iowa's locked into the Big Ten West, but you have Nebraska trying to get bowl eligible under Matt Rhule. Some other storylines happening on Friday, and the NFL is like, you know what? We're going to take that day too. So it's only a matter of time until the NFL expands. I feel like they're going to expand into the other days. And when they do, I think you're going to start to see burnout. I know it's like one holiday, but there are some times where, like on Monday night, at this point, after watching football on Thursday, college on Friday and Saturday, and then NFL on Sunday, I'm just tuned out most of the time on Sunday night and Monday night anymore. And I feel like try to look at the ratings, and they have been going down, but it's hard to tell because of, like, is it only the ESPN thing? Where if everyone's cutting ESPN, of course the ratings are going down. They put last night's game on ABC. I don't know if you noticed that. But they've been mixing it up. Some games have, Monday Night Football games have been on ESPN Plus. So if you pay for that and you don't have ESPN, you can watch them. And I know they're doing that because they're trying to figure out a way to get additional money. But locking them to ESPN, I feel like, is going to be a bad deal. Because worst case scenario, how many times is your team going to be chosen for a Monday night game? Once, twice a year, really? And if you are one of the top teams and they're going to put it on ABC anyway, then it's almost like a college football thing where if your team's good enough, they're going to most likely be free on primetime. So you don't have to pay. And if they're bad, do you really want to be paying to watch them on ESPN, win six games, and maybe be bowl eligible? I don't know. That's kind of where it is for the NFL. Packers have a losing record. Do I care enough to like try to pay for a Sunday ticket? I got the message this week or whatever where it's like, hey, you should pay for it. It's half price, half season. And I'm like, they're losing. Like, what do you want me to do, buddy? You think I'm going to pay to watch that? And most of the games, like, I've seen so many Packer games this year because they're on national TV anyway. So what would I do that for? Same with Steelers. Like, am I going to tune in to watch the Steelers struggle? No. Is it an offensive coordinator thing? We find out now because the big news we have to kick off the show here. Matt Canada officially fired from the Steelers. And honestly, I felt the Browns, man, they were trying to do the same thing where they're protecting the quarterback, right? Deshaun Watson, shoulder's broken. He's out for the rest of the year. I've seen some crazy things happen around the Browns. I don't trust them. Do them playing the Steelers and getting a win really put them in the driver's seat? I don't think Deshaun Watson can come back, right?
I would say not, but I honestly don't know because they're talking of Aaron Rodgers coming back here pretty soon. And I thought when he got injured that was going to be a year-long thing. So, who knows?
But see, was his just an old man injury? They never really say how bad it is. Like, they didn't say his Achilles was torn. They just said he had an Achilles injury. And so I wonder, like, if it's a small tear, or they do, like, the old school, like, Tommy John, where they're taking, like, a horse tendon and put it in his foot. Then what? They're, like, growing human tendons and things in, like, test tubes nowadays. How do we know that he doesn't have enough money to get that done, where they're just bringing him back? And it's going to be the future where these guys are coming back super fast. But with a broken, like, bone, I feel like it's a little bit different. I think it was his, was it his throwing shoulder? I think it was. Which is going to be messing up because, like, you know, like at our age, if you get like a shoulder injury, like pulling something, your shoulder starts like clicking a little bit or whatever. It takes a while for that to go away. And you're like, dang, what the heck? Is it bad enough that I have to go get surgery? And I know so many people that have shoulder surgery. Like, I know I have a buddy that had it like 3 times already. It's like, how many times are you going to go under the blade? And you're like doing it in your 20s and now you're hitting your 30s and you're like, I can't really lift my arm. It's like, yeah, you went under the blade. How many times, man? Just rest, see if it heals naturally. You're not playing pro sports. But with these guys, man, that's their job. So they're going to get the best care. I wonder
at times if you start going, having surgeries, if it doesn't just deteriorate faster.
Well, see, that's my problem. Like, I think I talked about, I've been wearing like the boot, at least in the pre-show, like a stress fracture in my foot. And then it's on the same leg that I had knee surgery on when I was in high school. And that knee gets tight. Like, I've had to make it a point to do some yoga and really stretch that knee out just because I think like the extra weight of the boot, but like I'm losing mobility from it. And I'm not like not bending my knee, right? It's just like, I think the mix of the cold weather, former injury, and it's like, now my knee's like locked up and I've always had lesser mobility and they just scoped it. So it's kind of weird. Like, did they get a lot of scar tissue out? Did they take a lot of the healthy tissue now and I'm losing some flexibility? I'm sure if I did like hardcore yoga, I'd get it back. But you've noticed like a lot of guys, especially in college when they're younger and they're getting hurt. It's like, so-and-so hurt his knee. It's like the same knee. When you hear it's like, oh, it's the opposite knee, you're like a sigh of relief, which is kind of crazy because you're like, no, both knees are reconstructed, right? Instead of like one knee nagging the guy. And it's like, oh, he lost a step. I mean, look at Devin Bush, got injured, lost a step. That was his career, right? Gone. I don't know if he's still in the league, but it's like when you have that and you get injured, sometimes it's tough to come back. A throwing shoulder bone injury, I think Deshaun Watson can come back. But even if he's not, like, they have DTR. But watching their offense, when they called it, it's very similar to what the Steelers are doing. You're not taking any shots. That's not, I don't think that's on the OC. I think the head coach is telling them, hey, don't take any shots. Right? Like, we don't trust you. What are you doing? You're going to throw 2 deep balls a game. You're going to be overthrown. Awesome. What else are you doing? Oh, we're going to be dinking and dunking. And Najee Harris, I don't know how many more reps they're going to give him, but he looks so bad compared to Warren, right? Let's say their back name. I don't even know how you keep playing him. One guy gives you a spark. That should be the starting running back. It reminds me back when, who was the running back? Was it Willie Parker? Where they had like, when it was early in Tomlin's career, I think, where they had a running back come in that wasn't supposed to be good. And he was providing the spark where it took them all season. And finally, they're like, all right, you're the dude. You're going to be the starting running back. And I feel like we're seeing the same thing now where, because they were like the one time they're like, hey, they have to keep riding the hot hand. It's like, no, buddy, they need to keep running the good running back. What are you talking about? The hot hand. I don't care how many yards Najee Harris has, but he looks slow out there and you can't have that. You need a guy that's going to give you a spark. And I feel like watching the Chiefs last night, I know they lost, but moving it around and having like these nobodies catch balls very similarly reminds me of my man Tom Brady and how he would always just be hitting these guys and everyone's like, who was that guy? Like a grocery guy before here bagging groceries, and now they just sign him and he's getting eight catches. Why are you spreading the ball around? Where the Steelers, on the other hand, I feel like the fans yelling at Matt Canada, like, just throw to Pickens, throw the same guys. Oh, yeah, keep plugging away Najee Harris. Oh, yeah, awesome. He's getting 3.9 yards a carry. Why are we running him so much when Warren's getting 6.2? There's no argument for having Najee Harris in the game at all. For the season, he has a long of 25 yards. That's nothing. Jalen Warren, his long is 74. You have to be drunk to think that Najee Harris should be the starting running back. There's no other reason. Like, it's not like Warren's only coming in on third downs. A couple of those drives, they were handing the ball like 5 times in a row, and he was moving it downfield. So I don't think it's a lot of the OC, unless he's the one picking the players. I think a lot of it comes from the top. Like, hey, we need to protect Pickett. We don't trust him throwing too many picks or whatever. What do you, has like 4 picks on the year to 6 touchdowns. Oh, awesome. Like, his rating's kind of low, but if they don't trust the guy and you're not spreading the ball around, because, like, of course they're not going to throw to Deontay Johnson. He drops every other pass, right?
But why are people so high on Deontay Johnson? What am I missing?
Because he gets open sometimes. But you can get open and not catch the ball. And then the defense doesn't cover you because they're like, this guy's going to drop the ball. Right? Am I missing something? That's kind of what it is. He has the speed and he's good enough to get open. And it feels like they're just letting him get open because they know, like, there was one pass on the sideline. It's like, oh, Deontay Johnson, he's open. Oh, he had a chance. Like, he had a chance to catch it. Get real. If that was anybody else, the announcers would have been tearing him apart. But for whatever reason, the media doesn't ever hammer into him, I feel like. Right? I feel like Juju got more bad press than him. And maybe it was Juju, like, being self-promoting. And Deontay Johnson doesn't do that, right? Does he? I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think he does, but I just feel like he was pushed, like, when he signed his contract extension, that it was supposed to be like, oh, well, we can be thankful now that Juju's gone because we have Deontay Johnson. And I, at the time, I remember thinking, I don't know if that really does anything for us. Like, there wasn't anything that overly stood out other than he's already on our roster. Like, I thought maybe there's something I'm missing because even like when they're announcing Madden ratings and they're like, oh, Deontay Johnson has this high rating. I'm like, why? Well, why are we valuing him? And then on the flip side of that, you have Pickens that he makes ridiculous catches like fairly consistently, but it's like you're not trying to. I feel like at times they were trying to funnel the ball to Deontay Johnson, who was being inconsistent, and then you'd get like 6 pass routes from Pickens.
Well, that's where the rest of the guys, like, they bring in Allen Robinson. Everyone's like, oh, he's a Penn State guy. This is going to be awesome. And then I'm thinking that, oh, he's not, he doesn't have the stats. Cause like, didn't he play with Fields at the Bears? And you're like, Fields isn't that good. He comes to Steelers. It's like, oh no, he just can't get open. All right. I got it. Like, Deontay Johnson has more receptions than him. And he didn't play 3 games, Matt. So that's the difference. Deontay Johnson dropping passes and he still has more catches than Allen Robinson and the other guys. So I really don't know what else they're supposed to do. Plus, the one thing that I've noticed is they're not really using Freiermuth, right? I know he got hurt, but even before that, he only had like 9 receptions. They have Hayward. He has 17 now. It's like, are you not using the tight end position? Is that more of a Matt Canada thing? But even then, it's like, do you need to? If Warren's able to just move the ball and he's better out of the backfield than Harris, because that was Harris's thing. It's like, hey, this guy can really spread it open, right? I mean, it's insane. They almost have the same amount of rushing yards and Warren has like 50 less carries, Matt.
He's definitely a hot hand right now. Feed him the ball. Give him the opportunities.
That's what, just make him the every down back. Switch him, put Harris as whatever, third down back, whatever you want to do. And then, or go and play both. If Warren's going to be your third best receiver on the team, do the split running backs. Like the Saints back when they had Reggie Bush did it, provided a spark. He was never like their featured running back. And it got him a Super Bowl because no one else was doing that. And not a lot of teams really do that today. Like, I think I was surprised Michigan did it a week or two ago with their backs. And I've been thinking the entire season, like, why don't they do that more? They have the best running back room in the country. And you're going to run power. Put both running backs back there. And then at least you have the passing option out of the backfield. The guy that can get you with Donovan Edwards at Michigan and like with Warren here, get the guy that is actually moving the ball. Get him in space. because now you're not able to just crush down and crash on both guys because you can just toss it or do like a quick swing or real wheel route or something. Mix it up, and maybe the new offensive coordinator will do that. But I have a very sneaking suspicion that absolutely nothing is going to change.
Well, why would it?
I feel like it's Tomlin at this point.
Well, I think Tomlin did it as a show sign that he acknowledging the problem and trying to address it. But is it too little, too late at this point?
Well, I feel like I'm tying some college in with this, but I saw the same thing from like James Franklin. They fired their offensive coordinator, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not the problem. Like, the head coach is the problem. And the Steelers are doing the same exact thing. The head coach is telling them, yo, Pickett, we got to reel him in and keep everything short. I mean, you saw it with the Browns. Their offense looked totally different. What were they doing? A lot of tight end routes, like a lot of just short stuff, a lot of checkdowns. Like, why does Warren have so many receptions? Oh, yeah, he's the checkdown guy. He almost has the most receptions on the team because Pickett's constantly checking down. That's the solution right there. I don't know if the offensive coordinator coming in and doing something, either the receivers aren't good and getting open, the routes aren't designed well, or they're just telling them, like, we're going to be doing a wide or a running back route here. Like, check down, do this, do this. And I don't know how far they're going, but I think for Pennsylvania sports right now, at least on the West side, getting rid of an offensive coordinator at the Steelers and getting rid of an offensive coordinator at Penn State is not going to solve the problems. If the guy's been there and you've been seeing the same type of offense for like 20 years, and the only thing that would have been different is Ben Roethlisberger running a bunch of audibles, or heck, Penn State having Saquon Barkley bail them out, nothing's going to change. Unless you have those guys that are great talents that can bail your offense out, you're going to be stuck with a poor offense. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that watching this and getting people, I get a lot of messages about people being excited. They're going to see change. Just wait till next year.
Pitt, Temple, Villanova, your coordinators are next. We're just going with fresh offenses for everyone.
Except for the Eagles. But I know that we're going to tie this kind of into college, but the Eagles, they're talking about getting rid of the tush push stuff. Did you see that? NFL's doing two changes where they're really going after the tush push. We saw it happen with the Eagles. I saw it happen against Michigan, where Maryland had their guy come in and they got three like 1 yard touchdowns. And one of the comments was like, all right, well, just we can't let a team get in the 1 yard line or they're going to score every time. Doing that BS yeah. play. The Bush push. Wasn't it the Bush push? Then they just changed it. Like, why? They don't want to give Reggie Bush the shout out. They made it the Tush push, which is just annoying, right? Like, just go back and call it what it is. Reggie Bush pushed in Matt Leinart against Notre Dame. And Brady Quinn cried on TV when they did the recap of it, like 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago. So they're talking about getting rid of that. They're also talking about getting rid of the drop hip tackles. I think that's what they're called, Matt, if you want to give us a rundown on that.
Yeah, so basically what ends up happening is you're trying to bring down the ball carrier, and it's like a process of like basically rolling into the guy you're tackling. And what ends up happening is they're seeing more injuries, and it's definitely been more recent because it took out Baltimore's tight end Andrews, and Florida State fell victim to it against North Alabama, where Jordan Travis is now done for the year because that style of tackle, just you're essentially throwing your weight against the lower legs of the ball carrier, and if they get hung up in any way, you're getting injured bad.
See, that's where I think they're going to have a very tough time policing this, because it's not so much that they're physically throwing their weight. You're catching a guy from either the side or behind them. You can't pull them back because they'll call you for a horse collar. We argued about it. One of the Penn State runs where Michigan's like gigantic D lineman ran him down. And he ripped him down from the shoulder pads, and it looked like a violent horse collar. So that's one option. The second option is to just kind of jump on their back. Think of like a lion taking down a gazelle, where they jump on like the neck and then they just go dead weight, and kind of you're dropping them down from behind. And so I hear people say like, well, just go for their legs. But how many times when you do you see a guy step out of a leg tackle? A lot, right? When they're trying to go from behind, because these guys, they do drills through like tires and other things to practice stepping out of tackles. So the safest thing is to kind of grab them from like the hips and just drop your weight. Now, unfortunately, when you do that, they're running so that you're going to have a good chance of like a leg getting caught. And if they try to get rid of it, it's going to be worse than the targeting penalties. Because I don't know how many times I see a targeting penalty where it's like, oh yeah, that was hit to the head. What was he supposed to do? And then like you get the weird, I think it was Michigan's game last weekend against Maryland. Yeah, it was, because Roman Wilson ran like a post, caught the ball, and he's catching it low. So he's already like kind of down, and their guy like speared right into his head. So it should have been like an ejection, right? And they were like, well, he's kind of low, so we're going to wave it off. And then they're like, well, he got injured. We don't know how. It's like, no, you know how. He was targeted, but the booth couldn't come back and say like, no, he probably has a concussion, because they're trying not to like advertise that. And so even like today, I read a recap and it's like, he has an undisclosed injury. It's like, no, he probably had a concussion. What are you talking about? Hopefully he's back because he got speared, but because they picked up the penalty, they don't want to say like, oh yeah, he got hit on whatever it was. And then I saw another one. I can't remember what game it was, if it was NFL or college, where it might have been NFL, where they called it and then they went to the review and said, oh no, it wasn't actually a penalty. He used a shoulder pad, but they can't take the penalty away. And it's like, why are you even wasting time reviewing it? Like, what is the point? Like, if you're going to eject the guy, I don't understand. Especially in college, because I think the guy has to go over and look at the camera still. And does the NFL have to do that, or can they do it from the booth? Because, like, you're just adding extra time for no reason. Like, just have a safety guy in the booth that can say, like, oh, yeah, that was helmet to helmet. Like, they have the guys that call in anyway. So if the TV set's able to do it, have the reserve ref kind of come in. One of the games, I can't remember who it was, they had a ref come in. I might have been college. And they're like, everyone talks about like the best job in the NFL being like the backup quarterback. I think the reserve ref might be even better, because he never goes in. I think this is the first time I even heard of them having a reserve ref that just kind of hangs out on the sideline, Matt. So the guy goes down, he has like a medical emergency. Hopefully he's all right. I don't know if it was from a hit. I think it was from a hit, maybe. I don't even know what game it was, but I'm watching a game. The guy goes down and they're like, well, first time that we're going to be calling the reserve ref all season. I'm like, it's week, whatever, 11, 12. First time. That's the job I want. You're just the reserve getting in there. They were talking about how he's an official ref. He gets paid the same and everything. I'm like, that's the guy you want to be. You don't get any, unless you wanted to be one of the Hawker League guys and you want to be the guy where like lifting weights and you're like, I'm going to be tough on TV. I want everyone to know my name. That's the only ref I know. But that could be the best job, where you're just the reserve ref and he's already reserve. Why can't he just be the guy that's on the camera then? Because I've only ever heard of a reserve ref coming in one time. So what else is he doing the rest of the time? They already have the camera on the sideline. Just be like, yo, while you're over there drinking Gatorade and doing whatever you're doing over there, check out the camera. We need you to see if that was the helmet to helmet. And he's like, he just does like a thumbs up or thumbs down. I feel like that'd be better, right? They don't even have to waste money on extra technology for him. He just comes out and does like a thumbs up, and then the crowd would go crazy. It would add a little bit of like extra to it, like the Gladiator movie. Right? Wasn't that Gladiator where the guy did like the thumbs up and thumbs down?
Yeah.
That's what we need. Theatrics to it. Because you have the guy from the TV, he's out there with like the red on and he's telling people, don't start a play. How many plays did I miss this weekend because of the stupid commercials? I think I missed at least in college. I missed a couple third downs where it's like, oh, next thing I know, they're punting. And I'm like, what the heck? Did they expect it to be like a full timeout? Do they even have a half timeout in college football? like basketball does, and they're like trying to run this in. Because I've noticed it a couple times in college now, at least more so than the NFL, where the timeout's shorter than they thought. And they're like, we got to get these 13 Little Caesar commercials in here. And they're like, we just shove it through. Who cares if we missed a third down play? And then they're punting. And you're like, oh, I guess like for Iowa, man, if you miss the punter, that's a big deal. He's the highlight of the game. Heck, Michigan's punter, he won the game by punting him down to like the 1 yard line twice in a row. Perfection. But you almost missed it because you're watching commercials. So I don't know. I don't feel like they're going to be able to clean up the game the way they want. And it's going to make it even harder to watch because we already have too many commercials and you already have all kind of other stuff that should easily be out of the way. I saw some people were like complimenting Fox because they started to do, at least in their college football coverage, they're like trying out the split screen where you have like the ad around the game during timeout so you don't actually miss the action. I'm like, they've had that in soccer for like 5 years now. They're just trying it out casually. Like the NFL never has to deal with that. Probably because they have strict rules on commercials, but I don't know. I feel like the defenders, you're not going to be able to do it because like, what are they going to do? They either have to pull the guy back or you fall on him. There's no other option.
Well, I just think, just in general, making tackles is such a difficult thing for people to do to begin with. Like the level of difficulty on just performing a tackle is high to begin with. And now you start taking all these different variants. Well, you can't go this way. You can't hit here. You can't hit there. And I think they moved in a positive direction with the rugby tackling and trying to shift into that, keeping your head out to avoid some of the head injuries. But it's just, I think it's, there are some level that if you end up over policing it and overstepping some of it, it's going to make it even more challenging for defenders to successfully make tackles.
Well, that's the one thing where keeping the head up is something easily that can be taught, because when the kids are running, all you have to do as a coach is pull the bag away. If their head's down, they won't see you pull the bag away. They'll fall down and look like an idiot. And then they'll learn to keep their head up and pay attention to what they're doing instead of spearing people. Very simple to do. With the dropping the weight, though, I feel like that's going to be hard to coach. And it's even harder to like tell on TV, like, did you drop your weight? Or were you just flying sideways at 20 miles per hour, right? Like, oh, and we're going to have the guys breaking it down. Like, to me, I think he's really trying not to throw his weight down when he broke that ankle.
When I looked at like, with a tight end like Andrews or like Gronkowski, there's such a size differential between some of those defensive backs and those tight ends. It's like you're almost in a no-win situation. They're trying to bring those guys down.
Oh, I complained about Gronk because they were clearly going for his ankle and his knees 2 years ago. Was it a big deal? No. Now it's randomly a big deal because one of the highlights that the NFL highlighted was Mahomes getting tackled like that because he's a running quarterback. And they're like, holy crap, we can't have Mahomes getting down. Not a big deal when it was Gronk, though. Like, definitely not a big deal. I mean, he got hurt how many times because they were doing that? Didn't care. Once Mahomes is included in the highlight montage, and I don't even think Mahomes went out, did he? He'd been limping around. I forget what game
it was. Yeah, I think he was just limping.
So it's like, oh yeah, he got attacked from behind when he's like running, and his was worse because he actually stopped to throw it, and the guy had already grabbed him and just like kind of landed right on him. And it's like, that's even worse because like if you're the defender and you're expecting him to run and he stops, of course your weight's going to fall on him. What do you want him to do? Use like some type of like levitation that he has? He's like, I'm going to just float here and wait for Mahomes to throw the ball now. It's insane. I don't know how they're going to police it or how they're going to teach it. And I get it. They want to protect the running quarterbacks. If it wasn't a running quarterback getting hurt, I don't even think they would care about Andrews because he's always hurt, isn't he? So what's the difference? Right? I'm being honest. That was like their thing with Gronk. It's like, well, he's big. How is he supposed to tackle him? That's the NFL tough guy response. It's like, all right, well, what about these other guys? Well, if it's a running quarterback, we got to definitely protect him. Tom Brady, don't care. Going for the knees, injuring him. We really don't care. He's deflating balls or whatever they're accusing him of. They got the witch hunts going. They're like, Mahomes, nah, can't do it. Can't do it. Because like someone was complaining about Mahomes not getting enough hype. And I'm like, are you serious? All we hear about is Mahomes. That's why I thought it was funny, because like I was playing them in fantasy. The guy I was playing had Mahomes and Kelsey. So watching Kelsey just drop passes and then punch the ground made me laugh so hard. Because it was raining, and I thought, I'm going to win this game. There's no way they're going to be throwing the ball in this rain. And to give them credit, they did try. Kelsey did have a touchdown. I ended up winning anyway. Because at the end of the game, there was like a deep shot he dropped. And then he dropped another. He dropped like two or three passes, and I was just laughing. Because every time he would drop it, he'd like get on the ground, start punching it. I'm like, did Taylor Swift teach you that, bro? Like, what is with this pouting? I don't get it. But it was only him. The other guy I never even heard of. And the Chiefs, they were like, the Chiefs are really trying to get this guy involved. I'm like, really? Maybe he's the only one that's open. He was wide open, though. 84 or whatever his number. I don't even know his name. But he caught the one touchdown. And then they threw an interception trying to throw to him, too. And it was a horrible pass by Mahomes. He threw it way behind him, right to the defender. And I'm surprised they didn't just fire him right there, because after like 13 replays, he's like, you know, I think Mahomes was a little bit behind on that pass. And then he immediately caught himself. He's like, I can't criticize Mahomes. What am I doing? I'm going to get fired. And then he stopped it. Stopped talking about it. So that's my NFL takes for the week. Nothing really changed. Tom Brady's calling out the league for a lot of mediocre play. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, I agree. It's like, do you, Aaron? Are you bringing top level play to the Packers last year when they had like 3 wins? No. I think it's just because a lot of these younger teams and the younger quarterbacks that were supposed to take that step, a lot of them are starting to fall, like Josh Allen playing in it, like ineffective, Joe Burrow being like, is he hurt? Is he not hurt? Deshaun Watson being suspended, coming back, getting hurt. Trevor Lawrence, he's like decent. They're winning. Some weeks it feels like in spite of him. So I don't know how to feel on that one. And then like, of course, like the Raiders, they trade for Garoppolo. He gets injured. They're playing that rookie from Purdue. And they have no semblance of any offense. And I just laugh because the Raiders had the interim coach that was winning with their guys. And they said, you know what? We're going to bring in this other guy, McDaniel. He sucks. But let's give him another chance. And then it blew up in their face. So I could. Stupid haircut, stupid coaching decisions, Matt. Right?
I almost feel like they went with, McDaniels was the quarterback coach for Jimmy G, so this will just naturally make sense. And it blew up in their face. And I think back to the decision with how Pittsburgh's handling their coordinator situation going forward now. It's a really bizarre setup, because did you see what they're doing?
No.
So they're taking the running backs coach and they're making him the offensive coordinator, quote. So he's doing all the game planning and prep work. And then on game day, the quarterback coach is going to call the plays.
Why?
So like, they're trying to divide the roles and responsibilities. And I think on one hand, I feel like it's kind of a move to protect some of those coaches so that you can't just point the finger at one particular guy.
Yeah.
So there's deniability that both of them aren't going to be damaged by the potential of what Pickett's potential is at quarterback. Because I feel like now there's a huge target on Pickett's back that if he doesn't perform this week, then it becomes, well, we wanted Canada gone, but was Pickett the problem?
But see, that's the one thing that I think is coming from the head coach. And maybe it's a practice thing. I've complained about it with the Packers too, where Jordan Love, they're letting him throw the ball around. He's throwing deep, mixing things up. They're winning. They start turtling because he like throws an interception and they're like shutting it down. And of course, they don't have a run game like the Steelers. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're starting to lose. And Love looks awful. And it's like, look at his passing chart. Everything short the defense is creeping up and you don't have a running game. You're just basically giving your quarterback, throwing him to the wolves. And that's what I've seen with Pickett. It's like, I've seen Canada's offense and it's been good in college where they're taking shots and other things and people are getting open. And with the Steelers, I'm like, I'm not seeing that. And I'm wondering, is it just Tomlin like exerting his control on the offense and saying, I want it to look like this. And it's like, we don't have the guys for that. It's like, well, make it work. And I wonder if just getting rid of the OC is going to work. That's why I brought up the Franklin thing too, because James Franklin's offense, we've been hearing about it for 10 years now. He's been there forever. And it's like, he always loses big games because they stop taking shots, except for that one Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin where they were losing bad. And the only thing that opened it up was they were like, we're getting embarrassed here. We needed to just start throwing the ball up. And guess what? They won. And you would think that they were like, we should just keep doing that. But they're like, nope. We got to go back to what kind of worked. We're just throwing like screen passes. And it's like the Steelers offense. It's like, who's having fun watching this? Like, I just don't get it. It's not fun. You're not like moving the ball around. Like people that you've never heard of should be catching passes just like the Chiefs. And you're like, where's that guy from? But instead they're like, nope. Got to throw to Pickens. Watch Deontay Johnson drop a few. Just run Najee Harris up the middle 8 times. And then at the end of the game, you're like, we only scored 10 points. We lost 13-10. 13-10 against a team without their quarterback, Matt, that was running the same crappy offense you were running because they were afraid of their guy throwing the ball downfield too. Like, for real. It was like watching two middle school teams on Sunday. That's what it felt like to me. We were like, they're not going to really throw the ball. And then they're like, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So that's my NFL analysis from the week. I like the Eagles. They kept doing, they're like spreading it around. And like, I don't know how they kept getting Swift open and like those weird sweep, jet sweeps or whatever they're doing with him. He's like running for 50 yards. It's like, the Chiefs, are you going to do anything with him? That's how I knew the Chiefs were going to lose. Because they got ahead, couldn't throw the ball consistently. Mahomes threw that interception because he threw it way behind the receiver that was wide open. And that was the game. When he threw the pick, he had a guy that could have put the Eagles away. They never would have came back with their offense. You have to bury him. They didn't bury him. Game over. Now, let's see what happens the rest of the way. I don't think there's a top team. Like in the AFC, the Ravens have the top record. I don't trust the Ravens. I don't really trust the Chiefs at this point. They're really missing like Tyreek Hill or someone that can stretch the defense. And to me, they don't have that. And like they did have one to Scandling maybe that was deep and it like hit him in the hands. He should have caught it. He dropped it. And I was like, yeah, that probably could have sealed the game too for the Chiefs. But you gotta let Tyreek Hill go. So what are you guys doing in there? But that's my NFL stuff. You have anything you want to talk about the NFL?
No, we hit a good bit on the stuff I was concerned with.
So getting into the college, I know I threw some of the coaching stuff in there because I feel like it's the same. You have college coaches that are getting pushed out, much like the NFL, and it's like, is it a scapegoat thing? I saw a crazy, I don't know if you saw this, it was like one of those message board, like, you know, the crazy guys that's like, here's my plan. USC, Lincoln Riley is an issue. He only focused on the offense. What we need to do is bring in Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson said that he wants to get back into coaching. Though my plan is to have him run the defense. He can also take over in charge of like strength and conditioning and nutrition because that was really big at TCU when he was there. And a guy like lists out Gary Patterson doing all this stuff. And the first comment was like, so you mean like Gary Patterson is now the head coach and Lincoln Riley's just there running the offense like an offensive coordinator? Like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, you're going to demote him and have Gary Patterson come in and do everything else because your head coach is blowing it? That makes me think that like some of the stuff at Oklahoma is kind of just like built into the program, right? You have guys that come in and Venables takes over. They have a down year shifting offensive schemes or whatever. And then they're running back up where USC, it's like, hey, all hype. We're going to bring in these transfers and we're going to bring in guys that aren't really bought in. And they're not going to care because we're literally paying them to be here and they're not going to try hard, right? We're going to have boosters and NFL guys and agents around because we paid for these guys. They're telling them, You shouldn't even play. Why are you playing? You're going to get injured. Right? And that's where I think the NIL stuff is really shifting towards some of the schools where, like Georgia, it feels like it's more of a machine. Where are they paying for top guys? They're getting top recruiting classes, but I don't see them really stretching for prima donnas, right? When they have a guy like Stroud that's a pure NFL talent, they're kind of just okay with being like, all right, you can just transfer. Right? They like don't care. And I see the same thing with Michigan, where it's like Harbaugh's running his program like an NFL thing, where they're having transfer guys come in that are already all Americans or whatever. So they're getting an edge up, and then they're still bringing in their recruiting class. They're not paying for top guys. Are they missing out on some like Arch Manning or whatever? Yeah, not even trying. Like, they don't even care. Texas is throwing money at them. And Texas's team right now looks like they're at the point where I don't even know how Texas is winning. They're barely scraping by everybody. Not to say that they can't win the national championship, because they showed like by beating Bama at their place that they can play up to their talent. But it's tough to keep guys motivated when they're just cashing a check. And they're like doing things like that. And I think we're going to see a big shift where coaches, even like Deion coming in, he wasn't really promising NIL to his guys. Like Lincoln Riley was, hey, Addison from Pitt, we're going to pay you a ton of money to come here. And guess what he does? NCAA doesn't care. Tennessee, clearly paying for a bunch of things. They had like, what, 18 or something, 18 to 20 level one violations. Nothing happens to them. Their guys are on the payroll. And guess what? It's hard to win and keep those guys motivated. Georgia kicks their ass. Was I surprised by that game? No. I'm saying all along.
The
like,
part to it is that when you lose early in the year, I think that also hurts, because you have if you're a team that's contending for one of the four playoff spots right now, I feel like you have something more to play for. So you're going to have, I think the NIL money helps, but I think the motivating factor is, are you a playoff team? If you're a four loss team, yeah, you're going to have a lot of locker room issues with who's getting the most NIL deals, because it turns into a, what are you doing for me? As opposed to, what can I do for the team?
Well, even outside of that, like North Carolina down here, big into the NIL, getting top guys. I always see commercials down here for one of their receivers. It's like doing a shoe commercial. And it's like, awesome, you're paying guys, their recruiting rankings through the top, and yet they're losing to teams they shouldn't lose to. Why? Because like it seems like their guys just don't care. And so like if I'm watching NC State that doesn't have that, somehow they're still winning, and NC State was supposed to be bad this year. And I'm thinking NC State could win 10 games. Now, is that enough to change their program? No. But like watching Iowa beat teams that are clearly going the other way in the Big Ten, where it's like, we're going to throw money around like Nebraska, and it doesn't matter. Because the kids, they're not there. They're not practicing tough. Like, you got to be able to take a punch in the mouth and keep fighting. And some of the guys, it feels like they're just kind of there and falling apart. The other thing, the reason I'm going here is like LSU quarterback, Florida State beat him. The quarterbacks, everyone's talking about him winning the Heisman. Do you deserve the Heisman if your team doesn't win big games and you get blown out? Like, to me, the Florida State game was such a lasting impression, where it's like, he's just throwing up stats against bad teams. Do you deserve the Heisman? I know the Heisman means absolutely nothing, but for LSU to just come in and be like, our guy's the best, look at his stats, look at him. It's like, yeah, but you're getting killed by like Alabama and Florida State, like teams that you should actually be competing against, because you have an easy schedule outside of them. You lose to Ole Miss, you beat Missouri, you're giving up tons of points, but like Florida State and Alabama, your top guy, your offensive guy, what is his Heisman moment? He doesn't have one. Like, you go back through it, people like bitch about Charles Woodson beating Peyton Manning. He returned a punt against Ohio State that won the game and took him to the Natty. Heisman moment. They played on every commercial on Saturday. What's Jaden Daniels' Heisman moment? Scoring 72 on Grambling? Like, for real, I honestly don't think he has one. And if he wins it, great. You threw up a lot of stats. Brian Kelly, there's rumors being pushed around that he wants out at LSU because of the culture there of like, hey, we're just going to pay guys. The locker room's like not 100% in. And there are rumors that he like wants to get back into the Big Ten. And I'm like, yeah, he probably finds it easier to win there because like all you have to do is win like what, 10 games there? And people love you. If he goes to like Michigan State, right? Which I think would be an insane switch. If a coach goes from LSU to Michigan State, I would be like baffled, right? I know Michigan State's throwing a ton of money around, but the expectations are way lower. It's almost like a retirement job, right? You're like, I'm going to take this last job. It'd be a desk jockey. Collect my paycheck until retirement hits. That's like what it would be like for the Michigan State job right now. I feel like they're going to pay enough in NIL to have like a mid to top range talent on their roster. And then like, they don't have the expectations to be like undefeated. So making the 12 team playoff every couple of years, like you're kind of set. Where at LSU, where Brian Kelly's looking like he might make the playoffs every couple of years, that's a whole different beast. At Michigan State, that would be a great success. They'd probably build a statue of him. At LSU, not so much. They're annoyed. Yeah, they're getting Heisman hype. But like seeing him get the hype instead of someone that like Jordan Travis, I know he got injured. I'm very sad for that because I thought Jordan Travis was enough to kind of make the playoffs exciting, where I've been talking about it for a few years. If you have a top quarterback talent, your team might not win at all, but that gives you an edge whenever you might not have the same talent. Like they've talked about Florida State not having the high enough blue chip ratio or whatever team can talent composite, just like Washington. But one thing you noticed about both those teams, they had top quarterbacks, and that eliminates a lot of problems. Now, Jordan Travis going down, yeah, he's not going to win the Heisman. Yeah, he's not going to be able to play in the playoffs. I found it just disgusting that ESPN kept showing the highlight of him getting injured because his leg broke in half. Right?
Oh my God, yeah. Like when I was watching it live, I immediately was like, oh, he's bad right now. And the CW was just like, I think we're gonna show it to you in slow motion replay how his leg just like immediately he was on the ground and you could see like his body was positioned one way and his leg was like not anywhere aligned the way it should be. It's like, this is definitely like major broke. And, you know, kudos to the medical staff at Florida State because it was like immediately the carts and stretchers were out immediately. Like they were back in the ambulance in. I mean, the only part in that whole process that seemed a little off was that by the time they put him in the cart, like both sides came out to like have that moment with him. And he was just kind of like patting the guys in the cart, like, let's go. Like my leg is friggin' broke here.
I know it's like, one of those moments. Like I was watching the game, but then I had to do some stuff and I saw everyone just on the field and I had a feeling like, dude, is that Jordan Travis? Like he can't be injured. Right. So I texted you and you're like, that was Travis. I'm like, are you serious? And then I'm like, everyone's like commenting on Twitter, like, don't look up the video. Don't look up the video. And I'm watching a highlight from like ESPN or whatever. And I don't forget what game I was watching. At the halftime show, they're like, oh, and here's Jordan Travis getting injured. I'm like, oh, I texted you. I'm like, yeah, I saw it. And then the CW showed it again randomly. And I'm like, how many times am I going to have to see his leg break in half?
Like, I don't know how many major injuries have happened this year where they're like, this injury is really bad. We're not going to show you this. And Jordan Travis gets hurt. And it's just like, look at his leg.
The Miami one. They're like, we're not even going to review the play because we don't want to see that guy's arm broke. But they're like, we're going to include the Jordan Travis one in the highlight footage. Like, let's reel that one up.
Look at it again.
Yeah, look at it. And then the funniest thing.
Here it is really slow.
Well, dude, I joked about, well, I guess I wasn't really joking. Roman Wilson, like, had the concussion, and they're like, yeah, we don't know what happened to him. And it's like Jordan Travis, they're like, he has an undisclosed leg injury. We don't know how long he'll be out. I'm like, yeah, because legs just immediately grow back together. Like, You don't know how long he's going to be out, you idiots. Because that was one of the talking points, like, at night. They were talking about, like, well, now that all the action happened, what do you think the playoff committee is going to have? And they're like, well, we really don't know when Jordan Travis, if he's going to make it back for the ACC championship game. I'm like, he's not making it back for the ACC championship game. Are you insane? Like, what are you guys talking about? You just showed the highlight. I was so mad because they're like, just trying to figure out a way to get Florida State in the playoffs. It's like, just put him in. If they go undefeated, I don't care if half their players get injured. If they go undefeated, they deserve to be in. I don't care what happens, just like the other G5 teams or whatever. If they go undefeated, they deserve a chance in the 12-team playoff or whatever. They finally ranked Liberty this week. JMU went down, and I'll be honest, I watched the game. And at the end, I was cheering for App State because JMU kept putting these streamers out in the crowd. They didn't even win the game. They're losing, and they're celebrating with streamers. And I thought, you jerks deserve to lose. Like, if like Ohio State was doing that while Michigan was playing them, I'd be so pissed. Like, why are they celebrating? The game's not even over. And the worst thing was they were losing. So when they scored the game-tying touchdown, streamers were already on the field. And I'm like, how are they not giving them a penalty or, like, doing anything to the crowd to tell them, like, yo, knock it off, you assholes, because it's, like, actual paper that could deflect the ball or do something, right? Like, if App State has a game-winning field goal and you have a bunch of streamers flying through the air and hits the ball, then what? Then what are you going to do? I'm surprised they didn't stop and complain about it. And then, of course, they lost anyway. And so they were like, and the App State guy scored, and then he fumbled. And they're reviewing it, and they're like, the announcers were like trying to make it seem like JMU could have won the game on this touchback fumble. And I'm like, he's clearly in the end zone. If they overturn this, it's clearly rigged. And then of course they didn't. And I'm like, thank God, because they deserve to lose after all that fan celebration. And like, I know you're just moved up, go undefeated, and then brag about it. I'm surprised that the AP still had him ranked, because like losing like that at home, anybody else would have been unranked. Like, I guess they still have Toledo ranked, but like they barely have Liberty ranked ahead of them. It's like Liberty's undefeated. They should be at lowest 15 right now. Like, yeah, they're not worse. They're not worse than like a 3-loss Notre Dame. And if they are, then let them play them or whatever, and then see what happens. That's where like they're like trying to let them sneak in. But at this point, if you're gonna have like the highest ranked G5 team is like 10-1 Tulane, why do they deserve a playoff spot in the new system more than Liberty? They lost to Ole Miss by 17 points. What makes you think that them playing Georgia is not going to be an absolute ass kicking? At least Liberty is undefeated. So if Georgia beats them bad, you're like, well, they went undefeated. They deserve the chance. Like, Tulane already lost. They don't deserve a second chance. They don't, because it's going to be an ass-whooping either way. And that's where they're like, they're talking about changing it to like the 5-7. I think they might have locked that in. I'm not 100% sure. Where it's like 5, you get the Power 4 conferences, which would be ACC, Big 10, SEC, and the Big 12. I think I said them right. Those four would get automatic bids. And then the next highest, which would most likely be the Pac-12 or Pac-2-ish, 15 or whatever, they're working on that deal with the Mountain West. It's most likely going to be them. Like, this year it'd be Oregon State, but with when them doing that, then they're cutting out Tulane or whatever. But is Oregon State always going to be there? Because like, they're trying to get that $500 million so they can pay their roster or whatever. Maybe it works out. I don't know, but I'm waiting to see what happens with the Michigan NCAA investigation. Because last week, we had the temporary restraining order all ready to go to fight. And then the university just randomly backed out. After the rumors are that there was like a president's meeting from like all the schools in the Big Ten. And at the president's meeting, they decided that they'll just stop the investigation. So the investigation's supposed to be over, right? Like, it's done. I don't think, as of right now, they're not supposed to vacate any wins or anything. The NCAA supposedly isn't interviewing anyone right now anymore. I don't know if they're going to reopen it after the season. But whatever they talked about whether it was Michigan saying that they had a bunch of data, they were going to just spill the Big Ten guts. And the Big Ten was like, yo, don't do it. Reportedly, they had the NCAA come back with what else they had as part of their investigation, which was linebackers coach Chris Partridge was supposedly telling players not to interview and like to lie about it. So, of course, he got fired when the NCAA came back with that. That happened the same day that Harbaugh accepted the terms that if he was suspended for the three games, they would drop the investigation. Now, some people are still pushing for more. Ryan Day made some comment in his thing like, well, at least we know what happened the last 2 years now. And I thought, like, are you saying that you shouldn't have lost because of the sign stealing thing that you said you knew about and you had already changed all your signs? Because I saw an Ohio State insider say that it's a real bad shame, Matt, that this year that the Ohio State guys couldn't volunteer at Thanksgiving because they had to really focus on learning those new signs. They had to learn 700 new signs, and I'm like, are they really need 700 signs to say that they're going to run a crossing route with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, I know what they're doing. But it's almost like he made two excuses about the game already. And it made me think, because I was thinking I was going to just predict Ohio State's going to win this year. I mean, it's hard to win without your head coach. But watching Ryan Day's interviews, man, I don't know what to think now. Because it's clearly in his head that he's losing to Michigan. Like, they asked him about the struggles, and he's like, well, we really don't know what happened the last 2 years, so we're going to keep just going on with our strategy. We know that our stuff works. And I'm wondering if, like, them playing Georgia close kind of messed with his mind, where he was like, that Michigan game was a fluke. We don't have to change anything. And if the same thing happens this year, I'm just going to be completely shocked. Like, if Michigan runs them out of the building again, because Michigan has shown the past 2 weeks that they don't care. They're just going to run the ball and happily win by a touchdown or so. I guess not really. So the Maryland game this past week, there were like insane wins, right? And I noticed like the bias for like the announcers, not really a bias, but the one thing, because they made that one commercial about what's the NFL thing. Did you see that NFL crew one where it's like they're all getting like sweatshirts and they call the one guy baby something. And he's like, I don't want to be nicknamed baby, whatever, on my sweatshirt. And they're like, well, we already bought the sweatshirts. The entire game on Saturday, they kept calling Maryland's quarterback Baby Tua because it's his little brother. And I'm thinking, he has to hate that name. Like, his family has to hate it. Because, like, why would you want to be Baby Tua? It's not even your name. It's your brother's name. Right? As your nickname. But I noticed during the game, there's like 50-mile-per-hour winds. The ball's getting knocked off the tee. And every time Tua threw the ball, or to his brother Baby Tua, they're like, wow, it's insane that he's like, the winds are so bad here that it's knocking all his passes down. So like he gets two passes intercepted because the wind's so bad. It just blows him right to the Michigan guy. JJ throws a deep ball, hits a guy in the hands, that's a little bit behind him. And I'm like, yeah, the wind clearly knocked that one down. You could easily see it. And they were like, well, JJ, he's off today. Something's wrong. He's missing these guys. He normally hits them. I'm like, it's the same winds. You guys are saying that are affecting Baby Tua. What do you think? The wind stops when JJ gets out there? Like, it was so bad, Michigan didn't even attempt the field goal a couple times. Because they were like, they asked after, and he's like, yeah, the winds are so bad, like, what are we going to do? Like, the ball's going just flying around out there. Because Maryland, it must be their stadium, because I swear to God, last time Michigan played there, the same thing happened. It was a close game, and the winds were just crazy. And it's from like, left to right, Matt. So it's like blowing across where if you're kicking a field goal, if it lets up and you're adjusting for the wind and it stops, you're going wide left. Where if you're not accounting for the wind, it'll blow it all the way to the right. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that. I watched them punt right out of bounds. Like, Michigan won the field battle because the very last punt, I think I mentioned it earlier in the show, the wind knocked it down. It blew it completely dead. It was almost like a golf shot. The wind killed it right at the 1 yard line and it didn't even move. Like, it bounced up and the wind still blew it back. And I thought, well, no wonder it can't throw the ball. And then the next play, their quarterback threw it and the wind took it right to our guy again and intercepted it. And I'm like, that's the game. But when you're just running the ball and they're stacking the box, it's like, They're just going to keep running. They're going to keep running. Now, hopefully the wind is better at Michigan Stadium on Saturday. But I have a feeling, like I said, Ohio State should win the game. They're ranked 2 going in. I'm disappointed that Florida State dropped, because I think if Florida State goes undefeated, they should be in the playoffs. I've been saying this all along that it's really cut and dry. So the playoffs should be Georgia, Ohio State, Washington 3. I think Washington should have jumped Florida State a couple weeks ago. Nothing against Florida State the way they're playing, but because Washington's schedule has been ranked team after ranked team after ranked team. They haven't been winning as good as like margin of victory. Like Michigan and Georgia both have higher margin of victory than Washington. And Ohio State, they gave the edge because of the extra ranked teams. It always didn't make sense to me that they're like, hey, Ohio State played Notre Dame, so they're ahead of Michigan because they extra ranked games. But yet they didn't do the same thing for Washington and Florida State. Washington has way more ranked wins than Florida State has, and there's no way for Florida State to make it up. Because every time like a team like Duke or whatever gets on in the rank, they end up losing some stupid game, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, do you not want to be ranked? Like, Florida State's best win is 8-3 LSU and then 7-4 Clemson. Like, that's it. That's the best that they can have, is possibly an 8 or 9 win team, one of them. Now, depending on what Louisville does, they're 10-1 right now. That could give one. But Washington's already beat Oregon. They've beat Oregon State now. They've beat whatever the other teams are out there. USC, I think USC might have dropped from the rankings or whatever. Utah might have dropped too. But these were all teams that were ranked before that should have put Washington ahead of Florida State weeks ago, if we're being honest. So I've always thought that it's going to be a Rose Bowl matchup most likely between Ohio State and Washington, and then Florida State would play Georgia. I've seen a lot of people say, well, with Jordan Travis, Florida State would definitely be in the national championship game. And I was thinking, like, it's going to be tough to beat Georgia. I don't know if Jordan Travis would have been enough to do it, but you can't kick Florida State out and put Texas in or something to play Georgia. You just can't do it. Unless Georgia, like, plays Alabama really, really close, and you think, well, Texas beat Bama. Maybe Texas without their quarterback gives Georgia a better game. But, I mean, Florida State, man, I don't think you can take an undefeated Power 5 champ and leave them out. What do you think?
Well, that's, you know, my heart hurt when Travis got hurt. But when you look at, again, not the most favorable matchup, because they played North Alabama and they should have blew them out of the water. And the early part of the game, they're down 13-0 when the injury happened, and they weren't moving the ball, and they weren't playing defense. They were doing nothing. They were definitely, I think, looking past them, thinking, oh, we're just going to mow right over them and get to Florida next week, and kind of surprised them. And I feel like the injury to Jordan Travis brought Florida State back down to earth, because, you know, a lot of teams are looking at, well, Travis is hurt, they're done. What they're not taking into consideration is Tate Rodemaker is a junior right now, and there's a reason he's number 2 on the depth chart and not number 4. So, I mean, he's seen a lot of game reps. He's played well through the course of the year in the cleanup time that he's gotten in, and he's shown that he can make good decisions with the ball. And I feel like when he came in, where Travis was a lot faster and used his legs to scramble around to buy himself time, I feel like Tate has a stronger arm and can drive the ball further down the field that may help with their passing game. To just, if we're going to throw more of those 50-50-ish balls, I almost feel like it's aligning better to his skill set with that being in place. And so I think I'm frustrated that they dropped. However, I understand it, because at the end of the day, like we always say, win and you're in. If you lose, now you're putting your hands in the playoff committee that they really don't have the respect for the ACC. Even though there have been representation in recent national championships from the conference, it's just like they're the forgotten stepchild in the mix. because they're not generating the same type of revenue that the SEC and the Big Ten are generating. And they have the production there, but it's just they're not able to paint that same type of picture, because they end up throughout the course of what feels like the better part of 20 years, they've had this situation where even when teams get ranked, you know, Virginia gets ranked, they lose to somebody they're not supposed to, or Georgia Tech, they're winning games and getting ranked, and then they lose to someone that's unranked. And it's like they beat on each other to where I think there's balance within the conference, but at the same time it hurts them nationally because you don't have two or three teams in the top and then a crap pile at the bottom.
Well, see, that's where I think the Big Ten and the ACC, they both suck. Like, the only thing going for the Big Ten is that they have more top teams. They could compete. Like, if you're going right down the conference where, like, if you're matching Florida State up against Ohio State and then Louisville up against Michigan and NC State up against Penn State, top to bottom, the Big Ten would win almost all those games, I would imagine. And so then you're getting into, well, how bad, what about the rest of them? And I'm like, it's a crapshoot after that. I mean, like, Iowa, could they beat Clemson? That would be a shit show game, right? Clemson can't do anything on offense. Iowa can't do anything. Would the score be, like, 6-3? 6-5? They get a couple safeties? Like, I don't know. Because, like, it's like, I don't even know what I would do. Like, I would never gamble on that game. I would never gamble. If Ohio State wins on Saturday and then they play Iowa, I wouldn't even be surprised if Iowa somehow beat them. Because Ohio State offense hasn't looked good against teams like Indiana. It's just to the point where when your head coach is out, you can't have confidence in the team to win. Like, if Harbaugh's not going to be there, and the committee for the playoffs said that they might take that into consideration and not count it as a loss, which would be crazy, depending on what else happens. Because I keep hearing all these scenarios about other teams like winning out. I really just don't see Washington losing to Washington State. Now, what would happen if Oregon loses to Oregon State, though, and then wins the Pac-12? You have a two-loss champ over a one-loss non-champ that they also had already beat. So do you give Washington the nod? That's what happened to Penn State and Ohio State the one year. The Big Ten said, we're going to give the nod to Ohio State, and they got in. So would Washington get in over Oregon? Or would they just say, you know what, we're just going to put Michigan in, they lost, like, they barely lost to Ohio State. They didn't have their head coach. They're the better team. Like, that could be a scenario that literally happens. And then it comes down to, like, Florida State. Like, do they really just say, like, Florida State, you lost your quarterback, you're out. Sorry, you're undefeated. Or, like, I think they're begging for Florida to beat Florida State. I've seen some, like, predictions where it's like, Florida has a great chance now. It's like, do they? Florida has Florida been, like...
But Florida lost their starting quarterback, too.
Yeah, and they've been so inconsistent, I don't even know if you can even trust them. I know it's in the swamp. The swamp's been empty. We joked about it 2 weeks ago. So what? I give no confidence into them. And
like,
Louisville,
it's not like they still have AR-15 back air.
Yeah, Louisville, too. They're barely beating Virginia, like you said. That very easily could have been a two-loss Louisville team. And NC State should have beat them, to be honest. So you're like looking at a team that is eking out wins and doesn't look good. And they have them ranked behind Missouri at two losses, which Missouri, again, hasn't beat anyone. That's where I should just start writing letters to the Big Ten every day, telling them, you guys are idiots. You need to switch to an 8-game schedule. You're not losing the TV inventory now because you have so many teams. And you're going to get teams like Iowa. If they didn't play Penn State, they would be 10-1 right now, and they would probably be ranked in the top 10 with their only loss being a 2-point loss to Minnesota. The only reason Iowa would drop this because Penn State killed them, because they just wore them out and then scored like 30 points. It was like 30-0 unanswered or whatever that game was. So like, if you take that crossover game out, they're 10-1, and you have four Big Ten teams in the top 10, and you're like, or around the top 10, because Penn State's one behind right now, and they're like, all right, right there, what do we need to do? Same, well, the ACC only has an 8-game schedule. That's why it's funny that they keep beating each other up, because it's like, you guys, why are you losing out of conference games, Pitt, or whatever you're doing? And then you're coming in and doing, like, beating each other up. It's like, oh, how the hell's Pitt doing? People are like, the Pitt? Louisville lost to Pitt. There's no way that they should get in no matter what happens. Like, Pitt's losing to whatever, Cincinnati and Notre Dame and all these other games. Like, they only have three wins now. They beat Boston College. But it's like, Louisville should not get in with that being their loss. The loss to Pitt kept Penn State out. Pitt will be just the albatross, where if you lose to them, you're done. Did Clemson get in, though, when they lost to them? I think they did. That's the exception. Yeah. Maybe if the loss to Pitt gives you an automatic national championship. I don't know if they won it that year, though. But the Big 12 one is interesting because did you see that they changed their tie-breaking scenario? They really don't want Texas to have to play like Kansas State or something. Because then no one's going to care, right? They're like, we need to change things around so that it can be Oklahoma. I forget what they changed, but someone was like, they're just trying to get them to play Oklahoma again for a rematch. And if they lose again to them, then what? I don't even know why they'd want to do that. Texas hasn't played Oklahoma State. You would think that that would be the matchup that they want, a ranked matchup. I know they're ranked lower. Team that they should beat, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, do they play each other this week? So that will resolve. No, they don't. They already played. And Oklahoma State beat them. So they have the head-to-head. So honestly, it should be, if Oklahoma State beats BYU, I would think that it's Oklahoma State in the championship. Iowa State plays Kansas State, so that could eliminate them. And Oklahoma plays TCU, so they'll win that one. So I foresee Oklahoma State and Oklahoma both winning. Oklahoma State should have the tiebreaker. It should be Texas versus Oklahoma State. But I don't know. The SEC one's even more cut and dry, where if Bama beats Georgia, people have been saying that both teams need to be in. Like, no, Bama lost to Texas, dog. You can't forget that. That was at home by 2 scores. So you have to have Texas stay above Alabama no matter what happens, because they played and Texas is better than Bama. I don't care how much better Bama looks now. And if Georgia loses, then Texas would be ahead of Bama and Alabama would be ahead of Georgia, because that's their only losses to each other. And so however you rank them, I feel like you can't change that ranking. Texas's only loss was in a rivalry game. You've talked about that, where that should be counted heavily towards your losses or whatever. If it's a rivalry game, that's a different beast. And if it's to a good Oklahoma team, then that matters even less. Maybe the Big 12 is just better than the SEC this year. So if they're trying to put all those teams, and I don't care if Michigan loses to Ohio State and then Michigan's out, whether Jim Harbaugh's back or not, because there's all the other undefeated teams, great. If Georgia loses to Bama, though, and say, like, whatever the slot is, it should just be Ohio State number one, Washington number two, Florida State number three, and then Texas number four. Like, there should be no way that Bama should be able to jump Texas if they keep winning. Then you have a conference championship team in Texas that's 10-1, and Alabama at, or whatever it would be, 10-1, we'll just say that, one-loss teams, when you look at them and then you say, well, they have the head-to-head. Yeah, Texas won in Alabama by 2 scores. I don't see how you can just throw that away. Otherwise, everyone makes fun of Michigan for, like, oh, you didn't play UCLA this year because they're joining the Big Ten or whatever. I'd cancel every game. If Texas gets jumped by Alabama and they have the same record, cancel all non-conference games against top teams. Cancel them. Why would you ever play them? Right? Notre Dame played Ohio State. They lost. Now, instead of being near the top 10, they're 18th. Why? Why would they schedule that game in the future? I think they lost to USC too. So it's like, if you're Notre Dame, you're better off just calling the Big 12 and the ACC and saying, you know what, guys? We just want to work on our sweetheart deal and play your teams. And we'll mix it up. And you guys can give us like one top team from each conference a year. So we'll have 2 tough games and that'll be it. We don't need to play like Ohio State or Michigan or heck, even USC anymore. That's the truth. Because they want to be right in that 12-team playoff. They want to be the independent team that's in, or the last non-conference, right? Because I don't know if the deal works this way, but the old deal was, if Notre Dame was like ahead of the ACC team, then they would take their auto bid. So if Notre Dame's ahead of the last conference champ, does that mean that they would take Tulane's bid? Because, like, wouldn't that be kind of BS to just keep the other conferences out for Notre Dame that can kind of pick and choose their week schedule? So, because they talk about Notre Dame has a nationwide schedule that's really tough. It's like, yeah, real tough, guys. Tennessee State, Central Michigan, like Wake Forest, Stanford's bad. It's like, oh, we got to keep them on there, though. Rival. They did play Clemson this year. They probably thought that would be a good game. They lost to Louisville, which ended up being a top team. And Louisville's a top team because they beat Notre Dame, let's be real. Same with Ohio State. Ohio State beat them by 3, and they had a chance to win. All they had to do was stop them. But that's my thing. I think this week, obviously, we'll know a lot of the differences going into it. Next week, we'll be coming back. We'll know the answers. We'll know who won between Ohio State and Michigan. We'll know if any of these other teams dropped any games, because next week it'll be a different beast. If there are no upsets, then we'll have a clearer picture of, hey, who can realistically get in? Because, like, it's a different situation talking about a one-loss Oregon and a one-loss Washington. One of them will be conference champs, because, like, there's a realistic scenario where Oregon can beat Washington the second time. They would be the conference champs per se, but they both lost to each other. So do you really rank the conference champion higher? Like, how do you decide that when it's the same exact team? Because that's what's annoying me. This is the last year that the Ohio State-Michigan game is going to be the game. Because unless some shenanigans happened like last year that allowed Ohio State, like every team got upset that Ohio State needed to sneak into the playoffs, right? That could happen again this year, especially with Jordan Travis going down. Like, Louisville could beat Florida State, and they could say, well, Louisville's a conference champ, but they lost to a crappy Pitt team. We're not letting Michigan out because they lost to Ohio State. And they just put Michigan in over them and say, whatever, forget you, Louisville. Right? That could be a realistic scenario. So, like, the other teams, it's like, how do you get there? Because, like, Washington and Oregon, they had a rematch, or they will have a rematch at that point. But Oregon does play a tough Oregon State team. They played at Washington. Washington got the win at home. If they win at a neutral site, Washington would most likely get the, or Oregon would most likely get the nod because they beat Washington neutral and they lost on the road. But does Washington then get kicked out? Who would they rank higher, the Pac-12 loser or the Big Ten loser? They'd both be one loss. One would be in the regular season versus the non-conference. Now, of course, like, if Iowa beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, then all hell would break loose, right? Because they're not going to put a two-loss Iowa in. Do they pick Ohio State? Do they pick Michigan? Do they just leave the Big Ten completely out and put Texas and Florida State, Washington, and Georgia in? That's a realistic scenario, right? The Big Ten could be completely out if one of those teams lose to Iowa. So hopefully we have some exciting things that could happen next week. Most likely none of them will happen. The only sad thing will be Florida State will somehow lose and be out.
No.
It'll be heartbreaking for you. But next year, just think about it. It'd be a 12-team playoff. Our teams would already be locked in. That's what I'm saying. The rivalry games won't matter at all next week. Everything will be locked in, and that'll be it. We'll know what's going to happen. I'm just waiting to see if Michigan somehow does beat Ohio State without Harbaugh. Does the NCAA reopen their investigation? Right? That could happen. And if it is, that would make me just think that they want Harbaugh to leave. And if Michigan somehow gets Brian Kelly, I'll just be so disappointed. Like, hey, we lost Harbaugh, we got Brian Kelly. Awesome. Unless Brian Kelly brings a lot of five stars with him. But even then, it's like, is that enough to move the needle for me? I mean, obviously, he would pick Michigan over Michigan State, I would imagine, if he's trying to get back up into it. That's when one of the insiders says that if Harbaugh leaves, or even if Harbaugh doesn't, there's a good chance that Brian Kelly would be interested in one of the Michigan jobs, meaning Michigan State or Michigan. That's why I brought up the Michigan State one. But would he, though? He put all that time in learning that accent for the South.
It's going to be hard to bring your Southern accent back north.
Well, the big thing is Jed Fish, man, I was really high on him when he was Michigan's offensive coordinator. He has Arizona program built back up. So, like, honestly, if Michigan was going to hire a guy, I would hope that we would hire him. But then again, if Harbaugh gets pushed out, do they stay away from, like, coaches connected to him? Because, like, Connor Stallion said, like, he was good friends with Jed Fish and he went to their spring game, right? So is Arizona winning because Connor Stein's also on his sideline? Like, how
he's
insane.
On everyone's sideline. That's why the NCAA is just going mum on it.
Maybe he only hires guys that look exactly like him so that they don't know who's who and they all wear those glasses on, the Ray-Bans or whatever he had. That's the real top secret mission he's on. Everybody's a military guy, looks exact same, same haircut, same glasses, and they all stayed on the sidelines, and everyone's like, who is that? And they're like, we don't know. They all look the same. That's what I want them to say, like, just officially say that the investigation's over, that they're accepting the Big Ten penalty, and that's it. Or, like, because everyone keeps saying they're going to vacate wins. You hear about this this server, like, some server, I don't know if you heard about this, but, like, one of the systems that teams share tape with, there's been, like, back and forth that, like, Michigan had access to Ohio State's practice. Ohio State had access to Penn State's practice, which is what I said originally. If you're Penn State, and Maryland was also mentioned in one of the rumors where Ohio State was able to access ahead of time Penn State's practice and Maryland's practice and share them with other teams. It's like, if you're a Big Ten team and you're only focused on the Michigan side of this investigation, then you're just giving yourself a loser mentality. Because if both teams are guilty, or whatever the heck is going on between this investigation stuff, and you're only focusing your hate on Michigan, which they've said, they keep saying about Vegas, the Vegas lines haven't moved. Even with Harbaugh suspended, you fire Stallions, the lines don't really move. You fire Partridge, the lines don't really move. Harbaugh suspended, the lines still don't really move. I think Michigan is a favorite on Saturday. So it's like everyone complaining about the gambling aspect and how Michigan's been rigging the game. The lines didn't move at all because Vegas doesn't care if you're like doing whatever for signs. They care about where the money's coming in. And I don't see how people don't get that. They say that if people keep betting on Ohio State, then Ohio State will be the favorite with Harbaugh out. But guess what? No one's betting on Ohio State because they don't trust them. Doesn't matter about the signs or not. It's about Ryan Day coming in the press conference saying like, yeah, we don't know what happened the last 2 years, or we finally figured out why we lost the last 2 years. Wink, wink. Stealing the signs. I got an excuse right here, buddy. And if they lose this year, that's going to be like, what, Ryan Day? And he's going to be like announcing he's going to the NFL, or I don't know. So a lot of random drama that I'm
is
glad.
Is the game at Ohio State this year? Or
no, it's at Michigan. That's why we're favorites.
See, if Jim Harbaugh was a real one, he would bring in Ace of Base to play the pregame show.
Well, that's what I said. Someone said that they were trying to raise money to buy a blimp because technically he'd be in the airspace, so he wouldn't be at the game, but he could just fly around the stadium. Which, how, if you're Ryan Day and your team, how could you not be distracted by a Jim Harbaugh blimp flying around the stadium, right? Wouldn't that be such a big distraction for your team? I feel like that'd be an edge. So I almost want to just, I wish I had money to just buy a blimp and have it fly up there and have on the side, instead of it say Goodyear, it just says like Harbaugh on the side. Because like, remember, wasn't it Michigan State or Michigan? One of them flew a plane a couple years ago with like the banner behind. That's all we need is just like planes saying like, I'm watching you, Ryan Day. And like really getting into his head on the sidelines. But I mean, he yelled at Lou Holtz after the Notre Dame game, which makes me think that he's like definitely in his own head. So that's why I don't think the Big Ten will win the national championship this year. If Michigan somehow wins it, it would be the most insane national championship, because how can you not be distracted? You have coaches getting fired left and right, coaches suspended hours before the game when they're on the plane. And like Ohio State, they're distracted by the entire thing too, because they keep mentioning it. He keeps like bringing it up and like being sly about it. And it's like, it's obviously in your head, buddy. So you're not giving 100% to your players. So like, yeah, you might be able to win the Big Ten, but like Georgia's going to stomp you. Like, I would be completely shocked if a Big Ten team won the national championship this year. And that's why I think the conference really, really messed up by not putting an end to it and saying, we're going to deal with this in the offseason. You guys go out there and get paid, right? Because if they don't suspend Jim Harbaugh, there's a good chance that both Big Ten teams make it this year because of how dominant they've been. But instead, now there's like a black cloud hanging over the conference that they put in themselves. The Big Ten did that. So they don't deserve to win a national championship. Screw them. If the presidents got together and said, hey, we need the money and this is just a nonsense thing. Let's just bring it back. We don't really care about football. And they put an end to it. Why didn't they do that to begin with? Why waste all the time and put all the things in the media and like just giving them something to poke at? That's my final thought. You have anything else you want to add?
No.
Big Ten shooting themselves in the foot. I talked about how they could have been the strongest conference. Now they just look like a joke. If you're like I've been saying, if you're a team or you're thinking, hey, the Big Ten has a chance, like Penn State really coming back next year, they have a great chance to be Big Ten champs. It's like the conference is a joke. Why do you want to be champs of that? Like they've really embarrassed themselves this year, and I don't think they deserve to win a natty. So we'll see how the games go this week. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.